today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey there, this is Jim Lenahan here on Rockin' the Suburbs. Patrick Foster is off the next 3 days because I'm going to present to you a very special crossover series of episodes. About a month ago, my friend Jesse Jackson down in Dallas, Texas, invited me to be on his podcast. It's called Set Lusting Bruce. It's all about Bruce Springsteen. I've been on that podcast before, as has Patrick. We are both big Springsteen fans. And anyway, Jesse was doing a series of sort of check-in episodes with people who have been guests on his show for the 10th anniversary of Set Lusting Bruce. I was one of those people. I was happy to do it. Love to talk about Springsteen. So Jesse agreed that even though this conversation aired on Set Lusting Bruce, it could also be part of the Rock in the Suburbs stream of content. That's what we're doing here. What you're going to hear is the exact same conversation. It's me appearing on Jesse's podcast, but cut here into three episodes for Rock in the Suburbs, because that's how we roll. All right, and just a little bit of setup here. Jesse wanted to talk with me about the new Bruce Springsteen box set, Tracks 2. I have not really gone deep on that, so what he did was really cool. He sent me a playlist of his personal favorites. 11 different songs from throughout that box set. I listened to those, and that's what we discuss. And so it's fun. So with that, let's get right to it. Thanks, Jesse, for having me on your show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another fun anniversary episode of Set Lusting Bruce. There are a lot of things I love about doing this podcast, but some of my favorite things are the people that I have been able to connect with over the years. And Jim Lenahan is one of my favorite fellow podcasters. We get together every few years and always have a blast. Jim, welcome back to the podcast.
Oh, thanks so much, Jesse. You're one of my favorite people too.
Yeah, it's always fun. So to get us started, why don't you remind people what you do in the podcast world?
Sure. Man, it's been going so long. So, my gosh, you and I met 10 years ago.
I know.
If you could believe that.
Yeah.
And it's lovely that we get to have this relationship over that period of time, although we haven't seen each other in person since then. So we need to rectify that.
Yes, we do.
But anyway. Yeah, when we met 10 years ago, I was doing a podcast with my co-host, Patrick Foster. That one was called Dad Rock. And it was a product of USA Today. And we did that for 2 years, and it was just music conversation between two, like, middle-aged guys. It's basically how I would describe it. And two middle-aged guys who are still, like, way into music. And we met you when we were in Dallas, and we talked about Springsteen, of course, and we're both huge Springsteen fans.
Yeah.
And then when that show ended, we started up our own podcast independently, called Rockin' the Suburbs, and we've been doing that now since the beginning of 2017. Gosh, 8 years, right?
Yeah, you guys are hitting up on a 10-year anniversary.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. And it's the same concept. It's, again, a music conversation between two middle-aged music fanatics, although I wonder when we'll stop being middle-aged, but let's not get into that right now. But we both listen to a lot of records. We go to see shows. We are very much into both the classic and new rock, and I think that's what I think makes the show interesting, is we not only talk about stuff that we love, that we have loved for years and decades, but a lot of new music discovery as well, and the show covers both of those things.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I love about the podcast is when people say they just don't make good music anymore, you guys go, BS. There's good music being made. and you actually don't have to work that hard to find it if you want.
That's right.
Now, if you're happy just sitting and listening to E Street Nation on Sirius XM, God love you, right?
Or that's right, totally.
The YouTube channel, or the, but just think about little Steven's underground garage, right? He's always doing classic music, new music, and just sharing it out there.
That's totally it. I think you're absolutely right. I think I don't judge people what they like or they don't like. Everybody has their own taste, and music hits people in different ways. And if you are the kind of person who's just, I really like the only a certain number of artists, or I hold these so dear, or I really love the music from my youth, whatever it might be, that's totally fine. That's totally valid. I guess what you said, though, was triggering in the sense of, I don't like it when people like that then say, all the music today is crap, or there's no good new music. Like, just enjoy what you like, and let other people enjoy what they like. And I would just say that if you are interested in new music, I think every month we do a series of episodes on, because our show is 5 days a week, so we do a series of episodes on new music from the previous month, and you're bound to, I think, find something that you like there. But even if not, like I said, we talk about a lot of the older stuff as well.
Yeah, and I think one of the things I'm always impressed by is you don't do one day of new music. Not even 2 or 3 days. You guys do. And to be fair, there is a little bit of talking and a little bit of explaining that you're... And during the pandemic, Ken Rosen, who does the Springsteen daily blog, This Day in Springsteen, interviewed me, and he said, what I really realized during this pandemic is you've built a community. You know, that you've got a community of people who love Bruce Springsteen and love music, and you've been it together. I have a junior community. Jim, you and Patrick have created a nation of passionate people, and I love that.
I appreciate that. Let me just say that a lot of that came out of the pandemic as well. And if I can just tell a quick story here, and I may be repeating stuff I've said on the podcast before, but I've also learned that's how podcasts go.
Yes.
We do so many episodes that you can't remember what you've said when you haven't. But
and not everyone listens to every episode.
This is probably new, even if I told it before here. Right. But we had only been doing this current podcast for about 3 years before the pandemic hit. And we had a sense, we had a pretty good sense that there was a bit of a community developing because people would email us or call in. We always had a call in line where people would call in. But a lot of times it was like comments on shows that we had already done.
Yeah.
And then we would do a little, we call it fan mail, but it's like almost like letters to the editor shows. But anyway.
Yeah.
But the pandemic was when the communities got to know each other, which was a really magical thing. And one of the, looking back on it, you can look at it like this, one of the good things that came out of that awful experience. And we started doing a thing that was not recorded for the podcast or anything like that. It was just on the side. We started doing this thing called Friday Night Hootenannies, which was all on Zoom. And it was just a Friday night, every week, a weekly gathering of music fans to just sit around and talk and play music for each other. And that was came out of the fact that people told us how bummed they weren't going to be able to go to shows for a while, and we're really missing the live music experience. So we thought maybe we can give something like that. People can at least play songs and hear songs, and we talk, and it just became this like really wonderful thing. Everybody looked forward to it every week. It would run late into the night because it would just keep going, and it was so much fun. And that sense of community then has carried over since things opened back up, and to the point where listeners are way more involved with the show itself now and contributing content. We'll have listeners who will even just record. Sometimes they'll just record episodes for us and like send them in. And we're like, hey, we'll take it. And we run it.
Yeah.
We have two listeners right now who are recording a Black Sabbath week of episodes for us. And it's great. Bring it on. And then we started holding live events. And we've done, I think, 7 of them now. Live events in different parts of the country. And we get about 50-ish listeners who come. And they all know each other. And they're like hugging each other and stuff. And it's almost like a family reunion kind of thing. Once a year, it's really... it's really an amazing experience. We just did one in Grand Rapids, Michigan a month ago, and it was just incredible. So.
Yeah, I really appreciate you were very kind, said, hey, any chance you can make it. And I explained to you that I had two trips to Jersey planned,
yes.
So I couldn't. I'm thinking next year, maybe I got to try to make this happen.
Next year, I'm not ready to announce it just yet, but we're looking at a city that might be a little bit more convenient for you as well.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
So we'll let you know.
That sounds great. You had talked about you have not explored much of the new box set, but give me your thoughts as someone, you know, I had a musician on the podcast and he says, it took me 15 years to put out 7 albums. This guy has 7 albums sitting on a shelf.
When I heard that about this box set, because I think it always been rumored there'd be a Tracks 2 at some point.
Right.
And we all knew from Tracks 1 and from the various other rarity releases over the years, The Promise and stuff like that, we all knew that that Bruce Springsteen was a prolific songwriter and recording artist, right? That there was all this stuff, and there was probably going to be even more stuff available. I'll just say real quickly that I got Tracks 1, not when it came out, but probably even several years later I got it. And I remember listening to it, and I was just blown away at the quality of the material.
Yeah.
And I was just like, are you kidding me? This was like stuff that was stashed away. This was considered second tier. There's songs in there that for many other musicians be like their best song. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so anyway. There is. And I was the same way because when it coming out, we've got a new kid and we're doing anything and it just wasn't money I could spend. So down the road, I ended up having the money to buy it and started going through it. And it's just amazed that this one stayed on the shelf. And in the new tracks, and then the other fear, Jim, was like, okay, he's obviously like you reuse a tea bag, and after a while, it's just watered down. Right. So, how really good can Tracks 2 be? Because he's already taken, and then when you realize, and I have had a couple of people go, there's no Born to Run on there. No, there won't be. Yeah,
no,
but.
So here's what I guess I always thought that when you put out a Tracks 2, it would be the same kind of thing. It would be a collection of songs that didn't make the cut for whatever reason. And then when it was announced that it was 7 like complete albums, that I think almost all of them were like fully recorded and produced.
He says he played with this during the pandemic is one of the things. The very last one is more like Tracks, like the very last one tends to be, it isn't as a coherent theme, but the rest of them are, yes, very consistent. He's telling a story.
So that comes out, and I honestly, it took me a little while to wrap my head around that. These are 7 unreleased albums, like albums, fully formed albums. Like, it was crazy. So it came out. I have not purchased it yet. It's quite pricey, and so
yes, it
I'm
is.
Just kind of going to wait it out a little bit and see when the right time is. And I think I told you, I'm not that big into streaming music. I do have a subscription, but it's not my preferred way to listen to music, so I've only dabbled in listening here and there, and it feels so overwhelming even on the streaming because it's just, there's so many songs, and I don't know. In physical, it might be a little bit easier because you can do one by one. Anyway, that's just my hang-up.
I think it's a legitimate hang-up. And I've had multiple listeners reach out and say that I'm treating it as if I got a new album and I'm going to spend a month just the way I would a normal with disc 1. And then I'll move to disc 2 when Jason Isbell put out Foxes in the Snow. I just have that going on and on, learning it. And with this one, if you tried to start at the beginning, at the end, you're like, I can't go through it that many times on a day.
Yeah, totally. I kind of wish, and I understand there's no plans for this, but I'm a little bit disappointed. I wish that at some point they would release them each as individual albums.
Yeah.
But I guess that's not in the plans. Because the sort of collector in me says I would buy them just individually over time. And then I'd actually have it all. But anyway. But you sent me a playlist of there were some of your favorites, right?
Yeah.
And so that kind of got me into it. And I just want to say this before we talk about those. In listening to it, I have a aha moment, though, I think, with this set.
Okay.
And that's this. Because you think, again, like, how crazy is that to just have these albums essentially done or mostly done or whatever and not put them out? But I think there's something about listening to this music today as opposed to maybe at that time it would have been released. And I think what I realized was, I think the fans of Bruce, knowing now his full career arc that he's taken to this point, are much more accepting, I think, of him going in different directions, or that he went in different directions, maybe, than they would have been at the time that direction was happening. So I think of, like, one of the ones you sent me was Waiting on the End of the World.
Yeah.
Which has that, like, Streets of Philadelphia sound to it. I think if he had put a whole album of drum machine, electronic-ish kind of music out at that time, people would have been like, what is this? This is not what we want from Bruce Springsteen. We want him to do what we think of as Springsteen music. And but now, all these years later, you're like, I want to hear that. That sounds really interesting. You know what I mean? So I think maybe it was smart of him to sit on that for a long period of time.
And I think so. I think he talked about that he felt, did I want to do another relationship record? That would be three in a row. Maybe I need to do this. I know some of the stuff he was doing, like the country album. Mm-hmm. I sent you a couple cuts of that, was while he was doing Ghost of Tom Joad. So he was balancing out. It is this, for those of us who like speculative fiction, that would be a fun thing to do, an alternate timeline of what he would have done if that had happened, if he had released that and done. Yeah. So, yeah, I just randomly picked some songs that I really liked. So let's go through them and just share what your thoughts were.
Sure. And I think the playlist you sent me, you had them in, like, order.
Yeah.
Of the discs from the set. And I didn't do a ton of investigating into what they came from or what era. So I might even be guessing. You can tell
me. That's okay. Yeah, and I can look at it and do the same thing.
My name's James Lucas, dear. I was born in Remington. Now my home is a rich failed prison where I pay for the wrongs I've done. Once I was ringing on the streets of Indiana when I was 22. Hey, just a kid looking for some fun, no better or worse than you, sir.
First two you sent me were Jim Deere and County Fair, which sound like they came from the same
era. Yes, they were.
But has a very Nebraska kind of sound to them. But very different in terms of content, right? So Jim Deere being this song about criminal activity or crime gone wrong. And it has that stark sort of Nebraska sound, which you expect from that. And then County Fair is a lighter song, right? It's just a nice song. It's not about anything particularly deep or anything like that, but it feels like the sort of my hometown in the sense of painting a nice picture of just a day out or something that's enjoyable.
Yeah, so those both came from L.A. Garage Sessions 83. Mm-hmm. It was between Nebraska and Born in the USA. It was recorded in 83. And there is a version of My Hometown on this one that I do not like as much. I just thought Jim Deere really did feel like a Nebraska song, right? Like this, this, I'm a bad person, I do this. And then County Fair was on like another release. And I can't tell you why I like it, except that it just, it feels as he talks about it. And in fact, when you play it at first, you can hear kind of almost the crickets or something before it starts. And just, you feel that ball air and the idea of just going down and seeing it. So I think it's a lot of fun.
It's fun. It's nice. It's also, I think, first off, you grew up in Louisiana.
Yes.
Every place has a county fair, right?
Yes.
I grew up in Ohio. We had the Lucas County Fair. But, and I think it's even more important if you go out into like rural areas, that this is like the biggest thing that happens in your community.
Oh, yeah.
Once a year, right? And so there's something to that as well as this. It feels to me like a great sense of community kind of song.
Like, yeah.
Everybody's there at the county fair, right?
Yeah, you know, and it
he
does.
Describes
yeah.
it well. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It really does.
All right, we're going to end things right here for this episode. You can listen to Setlisting Bruce wherever you hear podcasts, so go check that out. He talks with a lot of Springsteen fans. It's always a good time. It's another great fan show, which is the kind of shows we like. Join us tomorrow for more of the conversation about Tracks 2. It's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan. On behalf of Patrick Foster, on behalf of Shadow, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
Every year when summer comes around, you stretch a banner across the main street in town, and you can feel something happening in the air. Well, from Carol's house up on Telegraph Hill, you can see the lights going up out in the soldiers' field, getting ready for the county fair. County fair, county fair, everybody in town will be there, so come on, here we're going down there. A little girl with long blonde hair, come win your daddy one of them stuffed bears, maybe down at the county.
Have a junior community. Jim, you and Patrick have created a nation